Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Environment, Natural Resources Policy and Legacy Finance Committee. Today is Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. It is approximately 1 p.m. Members, just a little housekeeping, please. Make sure you have F1 pressed on your computer and do not unmute and just use the table microphones. With that, today we have before us Senate File 2794. This bill is going to be laid over for possible inclusion. Senator Johnson, welcome to the committee when you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. This will be quick, I promise. This is just a technical change to a session law that we passed back in 2019 dealing with parks and trails outside the seven county metro area. The project was supposed to be completed at an earlier date, but due to a number of issues, just delays and pandemic things, it got pushed back a little bit further, and this is simply an extension for the deadline to when that project needs to be complete. So, Madam Chair, if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them. If not, it's before you, so thank you.
Thank you. And members, this is simply a date extension for a project in the legacy bill. So we're going to lay this over to possibly include for inclusion later into the bill to get this done. So thank you, Senator Johnson. And with that, Senate File 2794 will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you,
Senator. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As Senator Arud goes back to the testifiers table, we will be going to Senate File 2766, and this will be going on to the Environment Finance Committee. And at this point, welcome to your committee, Senator Arud.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, before we start on our testifiers, I think I'd like to have Mr. Mueller go just through. Typically, we don't go through the fiscal note, but I think it's important to understand this bill and where the monies come from. And so, Mr. Mueller, if you'd be so kind.
Mr. Mueller. Mr. Chairman and Senators, what this bill, Senate File 2766, does is it takes a portion of the lottery and lieu tax, which is instead of charging a regular sales tax on lottery tickets, there's something called lottery and lieu. And it's basically the same amount as the sales tax, but right now a portion of the money for the lottery and lieu goes to the general fund, and a portion of it gets split off to other funds, which are listed in the fiscal note. Those other funds are the State Parks Lottery in Lieu account, Metro Parks Lottery in Lieu, there's a Local Trails Lottery in Lieu, the Minnesota Zoo, or not a Minnesota Zoo, it's a All the Zoo Lottery in Lieu account, and then a Heritage Enhancement account, which is actually in the Game and Fish Fund. What I do want to mention that this is different than money that goes through the LCCMR. There's the regular bigger pot of lottery money goes into the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and that money is then allocated by the LCCMR and to the legislature where we make a separate bill. So the lottery and lieu money is basically just money that would otherwise be collected for sales tax and go to the general fund. So we want to make sure it's different than the legacy money and the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund money. So basically what this bill does is it takes that lottery in lieu and it goes back to having 97% of it go to those dedicated accounts. Originally when lottery in lieu was established, 97% of it was going to these other accounts and 3% was going to the general fund. Over time, and I was looking it up today, It got moved around. Like in 2003, it went to 87%, and then down to, and in between 2001 and 2003, that percentage got moved a few times, probably mostly due to balancing a general fund target on the environment bill. So it stuck at what we're at now, which is 72.43% of the money going to these dedicated funds, and that leaves, you know, 27.53 going to the general fund. So what this bill does is it goes back to having 97% of the lottery in lieu funds go to these accounts. The effect of that would be is having less money go to the general fund. So the fiscal note, if the easiest way to probably look at this fiscal note is on page 3 of the fiscal note, where it talks about revenues. So this would start in on fiscal year 2023. So there would be $11.85 million less going into the general fund, and then more money would go to these other accounts. As you see, the state parks account, metro parks, local trails, zoo, and heritage enhancement. What this bill does is just puts more money into those accounts, but it doesn't appropriate it. So in the Environment Finance Committee, it's Senator Ingebrigtsen's committee, is where we actually appropriate the money out of these accounts. So this would, the effect of this bill would put about 34% increase of money into each one of those accounts. That would then be available for the Senator Ingebrigtsen's committee to then appropriate. So this money doesn't spend any new money, it just takes money and puts it in different pots. And like I said, it would affect the general fund amount target by about $11.8 million in 23, and that grows as the lottery revenue grows in the out years, you know, $12.2 million in 24 and beyond. So I hope that enough explanation for now, Mr. Chair and Senator Rood.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. That's a very good explanation, and I know it's a complicated funding source, so I thank you for giving us that background. Mr. Chair?
Yep, thank you.
Mr. Chair, when the lottery passed, voters were told that funds would go towards the environment, and that's mostly true, although there's been some mission creep over the years, and some of that money is now going into the general fund. And as you know, Bob Lazard campaigned very hard in 1998 for the constitutional amendment for the right to hunt and fish. And Bob started his 1999 legislative year looking for funding for that. And really, he spent his career really advocating for the outdoors and funding for that. And in 2000, we got the legislature to dedicate the 90% of the lottery and lieu tax for hunting and fishing programs in the Game and Fish Fund. And so today, I don't think it would be, we couldn't talk about these programs without having Bob Lazard in our committee hearing today. He is the one that got it all started and has been the advocate for his whole life. And so I think today we'd like to kick off this hearing with former Senator Bob Lazard.
Senator Lazard, please come to the testifiers table. Welcome to the committee, Senator.
This is so fancy. you don't want to leave. Something. A little history.
Introduce yourself first.
Oh, I'm Bob Lazard. I used to be a senator many years ago, and that's been a long time ago. Really impressed about this room. It's I wouldn't hate to leave. do you want me a little history of the?
Yes, that would be fine.
Well. When we were putting through the lottery bill, there was quite a few stories about it, and I'll never forget, it was on the floor of the Senate, and Senator, a little story, Doug Johnson, if you remember Doug Johnson, he had his office right there, and it was on the final, the, when the first version, this is the one that was put on the ballot, No, excuse me, it was 2 years later when he amended it. And Senator Day, I'll never forget this, Senator Day was over there and he says, Senator Lessard, do you know what's in this bill? I said, no, wait, let me tell you, Senator Lessard, you're supposed to be watching. And he says, just giving me the needle. And he says, well, let me tell you what's in this bill. Doug Johnson, he had stuck in this amendment. I don't know if it was this one, and we stuck it in, and it was on the bill before. There's no way I could object the report because it was too late. I'll never forget this. So if it was Senator Johnson yield, well, his office, if you remember, that was right off the side. And he comes in now, I'll never forget, and he got that little sheepish look on his face. And I said, Senator Johnson, is this in this bill? And he just kind of smiled, you know. I'll never forget it. And I said, well, I'm going to move to take this section out, but I know it's not going to fail, so I'm not going to put Senator Johnson through this purgatory. But the only thing is, what I wanted to say, when we were going around the state to pass this bill, there was Bud Grant and I and a whole bunch of us, and the number one thing was for the legislature, keep your hands off the money. And out of the, like Bud said one time, out of the cookie jar. So that was the number one thing, because it's a big tool of money. That's what the people voted for. And it's quite remarkable, I think, you know, how many years ago this was, that the bill has stood the test of time of trying to divert the money. It really has. And I think that's because when it started, you know, it was the game and fish, and then the clean water people came, and then the arts and parks people came, and we formed this coalition. Even the Sierra Club was supporting it, and that scared me, but we're all on the same table. I mean, who could vote against it? And it passed, and the number one thing that I've always been concerned about, and I don't stick my nose in it, but I watch the council all the time, and it's remarkable. Missouri started, but we had a much better plan. I mean, they were the godfather or godmother that did this, but we crafted this bill, and I don't think there's anything like it in the country. But the big thing was to keep the hands off the money. When you asked me to come here, I was thinking about this last night, how remarkable it is that it's got this far and the money has gone to where it was supposed to be intended to go. I mean, when you got the Sierra Club and meeting the same bill, that's dangerous. But that's what happened. So what's going on now here is that we don't want any diversion of the money, and there should be no tinkering with the money and through creative financing, take money out. Because once you start going down that path, I can tell you, you're opening a Pandora's box. So I didn't come here to give a lecture or anything, but this is a big thing to the sportsmen and women of this state, much not mention the clean water people and the arts and parks people, because if you can do this, you can do it for all the other two, too. So I hope that you will give this particular provision your attention and take it out and give it the fate it deserves. So when you asked me to come, that's what I wanted to say, but it's just nice to be here. You know, when you're on the downside of 90 and you're getting between 90 and 100, you know, you got to start looking at your taillights. Thank you for inviting me, but I feel very strongly about this, because if you start, and I understand there's good intentions. There's always good intention where the money's going to go. I was here 26 years, and I think I know a little bit how it works, and I think I know what's called creative financing, and I know I learned if you're ever going to make a move, make sure you're going to do it in the Finance Committee before it hits the floor of the Senate, because there's no way to reject that report. And that's the one we had always watched, where the mischief was going to be done, and that's what this one particular provision got in. Doug Johnson got me on that one, but I got him next year on something else, I did. I've taken up too much of your time, but I just really appreciate you letting me come up here and look at this Taj Mahal you got here.
Thank you, Ms. Senator Lessard. It's just always such a pleasure to have you in committee, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come here, and we always love to have, you know, history is a wonderful thing in the Senate, and you are so much a part of it. So thank you.
Well, you can do coming. One more thing. Get rid of some of those wolves up there in northern Minnesota right now. I'll tell you.
Very good. We thank appreciate you. You being here, Senator.
Well, thank you, but I appreciate you letting me come in here, you know. And well, you better be careful. I might run again sometime. I'll be sure.
Very well, good.
Then I might win, and then I'd go shoot myself. Or
next, we will go to Mary Jo McGuire, Ramsey County Chair. Commissioner. Welcome, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mary Jo McGuire, Ramsey County Commissioner. And what an honor for me. Oh, sorry.
Excuse me. Senator Herr.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Chair Senator Root. If you may allow me to make a little remark in regard to former Senator Bob Lazar. You know, I actually, you might not remember, but we met. I helped you walk up the stair to this Taj Mahal downstairs. We took picture together. And you're a people person. I always admire you. I follow your track. Follow your track well. Like, you're a people person and a true environmentalist and also an outdoorsman. So, and I know that you complete a lot of excellent legislation. And I don't want to add a little heartburn to you being here. But last year we worked on the turtle bill. Eliminate private turtle harvesting, and that's one of your initiatives, though we did pass in the Senate here, but we will continue to work on that initiative that you want it done at the end of your term. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Senator Herr. Sorry I missed you there. So Commissioner McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Always my pleasure to defer to Senator Herr, so thank you. Thank you, Senator Herr. And I wanted to say, and if you need me to reintroduce myself, Mary Jo McGuire, Ramsey County Commissioner, it's such a pleasure for me to follow Senator Lazard. What an honor for me to do that. And just thank you, Senator, for all of your work on behalf of the environment and all the years that you were in office. I know you made that one of your priorities, and we just couldn't be more grateful throughout the state. So thank you so much. And thank you, Senator Root, for carrying this bill. As a Metro, former Metro legislator in the House and Senate, and now a County Commissioner, this is an issue that is near and dear to my heart, but to all the residents of the entire Metro area, as our parks. I am speaking today on behalf of 10 Metro area parks, who are the implementing agencies for the work that parks do. So in addition to Ramsey County, this would include the counties of Anoka County, Carver, Dakota, Scott, Washington, the cities of St. Paul and Bloomington, and the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board and Three Rivers Park District. So I just want to thank you again for carrying this bill, but just to let you all know something that I'm sure you all know, that Metro Parks play a key role in the state system of parks. We are the state equivalent of the Department of Natural Resources Parks, and we have continued to serve an especially significant role during the pandemic, as you know, that they have seen greater usage and have needed greater care since the pandemic for both the physical and mental health benefits of all of our residents. And I would say that there are residents and our non-residents. It's all of the people throughout the state that love to use Metro Parks. And we're in Ramsey County. We're fortunate to have a zoo in our county run by the city of St. Paul, but that's a zoo that gets a lot of usage. So our visitation is, as I've said, and as our fiscal analyst has said, that that we've seen visitation far greater than that of the state park system. More than 60 million visits were made to the Metro Regional Park System in 2019, and we've seen just an essential increase since then. When the Minnesota legislature imposed a payment in lieu of state sales tax on the sale of lottery tickets, in 2000, the legislature dedicated 97% of those proceeds from that payment in lieu to hunting and fishing programs, the Game and Fish Fund, and to parks and trails, as was noted by our fiscal analyst. Over time, that dedication of 97% has been reduced to 72%, which that's why we're supporting this bill, to restore that 97% that was promised when everybody voted for that, when all those people voted for that bill. It takes $112 million a year to operate and maintain the Metro Regional Parks and Trails System. Minnesota statute authorizes no less than 40% of the actual costs to be appropriated from state funding for operation and maintenance for these parks. The allocation to the metro system from the state's general fund has been closer to 8% versus the 40% allocation. This is a tremendous disservice to the metro park system. Actual costs have risen, but appropriations have stayed relatively flat over the years. Metro parts have not gotten the 40% promised by the state, but the measure in this bill will certainly help. The metro parks would get 22.5% of the increased 97 allocation of the payment in lieu of sales tax. For our Ramsey County parks, for example, this could be between $250,000 and $500,000 for an increase. And I don't need to tell you, but operations and maintenance are an integral part of keeping up our beautiful park system. The other 77% would go to worthy outdoor recreation endeavors like hunting, fishing, outdoor recreation, and nature, as has been noted. In other words, what makes Minnesota great for all of us. So I would heartily support this bill, and I am so grateful again for Senator Root for carrying this. This would really go a long ways to really helping all of our parks maintain the great physical and mental respite that they are for all of our people. So thank you for that, and I know you have a lot of people to testify, but I stand for any questions and we'll stay around for that.
Thank you, Commissioner. I don't see any questions at this point. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
Next, we will turn to Bo Carlson from Three Rivers Park District Superintendent, and welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and you may proceed.
Hello, Mr. Chair. Thank you and committee members. My name is Bo Carlson. I'm the superintendent of Three Rivers Park District. As Commissioner McGuire mentioned, we're one of 10 implementing agencies in the metropolitan area. And thank you to Senator Root for carrying this very important piece of legislation for our system as well as the state of Minnesota as a whole. We're very supportive of restoring this funding and providing those funds back to those various pots that are very important for our operations within the system, both within the metro regional park system as well as our state park system as a whole. I won't repeat a lot of the points that Commissioner McGuire mentioned, but just to mention a couple items related to the metro regional park system. We have about 64 different units of park in the metropolitan area, hundreds of miles of regional trail, which is a hugely important component of our system. And as Commissioner McGuire mentioned, upwards of 68 million visits that were recorded in the most recent counts that we did, which is in 2019. By some estimates, because of the pandemic, we saw a dramatic increase of our visitation. At least in Three Rivers Park District system alone, we saw a 40% increase in our visitation, which is dramatic. And when you're talking about an organization that already had about 12 million visits per year, you can imagine the growth of that system. The challenge that we were faced with is it really gets to the point that our systems, our park units, are being loved to death. We have so much traffic within our system. To keep up with that amount of traffic, we really have to put a lot of work into that operations and maintenance that we have, as well as all the other elements of maintaining the habitat and restoring the habitat that we have. And that can be battling back invasive species. That can be dealing with some of the urban sprawl that we have in the metropolitan area. That can be dealing with a lot of the traffic that we see within our systems itself. While there's many different forms and sources of capital funding that support our system and provide those new units, this is the one element of operations and maintenance funding that we really rely on. And that's important to keeping our system up. And one of the key components is taking care of what we have and recognizing that we've made tremendous investments into our water bodies, our lakes, our parks throughout the state of Minnesota. We have to maintain those systems as well, and this is a big step in the right direction. So I just wanted to echo my support for this legislation, and again, thank you to Senator Root for introducing it. I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, we thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we will go to an online testifier. We have Mr. Greg Cavalli from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Mr. Cavalli, please identify yourself for the record. You may proceed. And I would just mention that Renee Mattson is the next one up. She's also remote. And so we will go to Mr. Cavalli next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good. It's a pleasure to be here. And thanks to the committee for allowing me to testify and in support of 2766. I'm representing Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. We're a national organization, have an extremely strong chapter. We're advocates for public lands and waters and the access to those lands. And I'm also wearing another hat today for the WMA and AMA Stewardship Network. And that's a loose coalition of conservation groups in Minnesota that's working to better the management of our wildlife management areas and our AMAs. And we strongly support the rehab of these monies to primarily, from our perspective, it's to the Game and Fish Fund. The 50% of the funds that will go back there for habitat and other types of work. And also, one thing I'd like to point out is that current language that Senator Rood has dedicates, I believe it's 67% of those Game and Fish funds go directly back to field operations. And as part of that, I'd like to point out that there's a number of different units within the Outdoor Recreation Act. We have the state parks and trails, waterways, public accesses, state scientific and natural areas, the wildlife management area and AMA program, and also state forests. And it's interesting to note that the state forests in particular and the state park system have very comprehensive management plans, long-term statewide management plans. The wildlife management area and aquatic management area programs do not have a statewide program. They have a series of plans for some of their larger units, which are way out of date. And I would just like to add something here that with this new money coming in, our groups would really like to see some of this funding dedicated back to statewide AMA and WMA planning so that we can get these systems up to date and have a comprehensive plan for their management, both from a habitat perspective and also from a recreational perspective. And that doesn't really exist right now. It exists in a variety of pieces, and it's not comprehensive. So we'll also be testifying in Senator Ingebrigtsen's committee when monies are dedicated. But I would I'll close by saying thank you to Senator Rood for introducing this legislation and carrying it. And I was really surprised and enthused to see retired Senator Lessard here. He and I go back a long ways. I'm kind of getting long in the tooth too, and I was one of the foot soldiers on the legacy bill, and it was just really a pleasure to hear him when I testified before some of his committees. And he always has a good sense of humor, and thank you very much for the opportunity to testify, and I can take any questions also.
Thank you, Mr. Cavalli. I don't see hands raised for any questions. Thank you for testifying today. And we will then turn to Renee Mattson from the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails, who is also testifying remotely. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Mattson. And please identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Weber, Senator Rood, and committee members. I'm Renee Mattson, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. And thank you for the opportunity to testify before your committee today on Senate File 2766. The Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission was created in 2013, and since that time, the commission has designated as regionally significant 67 parks, trails, and special features across Minnesota. The process sets a high bar to achieve designation, and the rich scope of our regional facilities that we have to offer proves that. The Greater Minnesota system was not included in the original allocation of lottery and lieu tax, which is what I'm here to ask for today. Passage of Senate File 2766 would restore the percentage of revenues from 72.43 to 97% again, increasing the amount of funding to many entities, and yet Greater Minnesota would gain nothing. We recognize the initial lack of inclusion was due to not having a formed commission to carry out system planning and designation for Greater Minnesota, and that's not the case now. Minnesota is so incredibly fortunate to have the amazing resources of state and regional parks and trails in which to recreate and just escape, and particularly that was appreciated by all of us these past 2 years. We fully support our partners at DNR and Metropolitan Council receiving lottery and lieu funding. We simply ask that Greater Minnesota also receive a portion of these proceeds to help fund the creation, acquisition, rehabilitation, and connection of people with the outdoors in our system as well. The commissioners have made a decision early on to direct as much of the legacy funds as possible to grants for Greater Minnesota projects. We don't have staff. We have myself and another consultant who is our system plan coordinator, along with someone who takes meeting minutes, and that's it for us. The operating budget is paid for out of the 20% share we receive of the legacy funds. The opportunity to increase grants for improvements and connections to the outdoors through lottery and lieu funds would be a significant game changer for Greater Minnesota. We know that half Minnesota's population resides within the 7-county metro area, but we also know that the traffic flowing out of those 7 counties on a Friday afternoon is proof that the 80 counties in Greater Minnesota hold an important place in our culture and heritage of outdoor activities. The Greater Minnesota system is comprised of many parks that are equal in size and natural attributes to state parks, and we fill the gaps in state and metro facilities across our 80 counties. When we consider the beautiful state parks we have, I also think of the Greater Minnesota system trails that are complements to some of these parks. For instance, the Cook County Mountain Bike System, the Lake County Mountain Bike Trails along the North Shore. In fact, the Lake County Trails have a connection at the new Shiprock Creek Campground at Split Rock, and the fabulous Mesabi Trail has state park connections along its nearly 150 paved miles. There are new facilities being built in the system that fill gaps in our urban areas as well. Case in point is Cascade Lake Park within Rochester. It's a new park created out of a winding down gravel mine. And over the past several years, a beautifully envisioned master plan is coming to fruition. Cascade Lake Park has benefited from legacy grants with additional large matching investments by the city of Rochester. The most recent grant is to build a 20,000 square foot universally accessible nature playground, which will complement an existing nature play area. The trails in this park are just a few examples of what constitutes the Greater Minnesota system. Assets that attract regional visitors and fill recreation gaps within our state. I would also ask you to reference a letter of support sent by our sister organization, Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails. Their letter provides an additional context for why lottery and lieu would be highly beneficial for Greater Minnesota. Please consider our request to receive a portion of the lottery and lieu taxes so that we can continue to expand and enhance the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails System for the benefit of all Minnesotans. So I thank you for your time today and appreciate all of your work on behalf of us in Greater Minnesota and throughout the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mattson. See any questions? We will then turn to Dave Carlson. He's a classmate of this committee's vice chair. From LHS, sorry to saddle you with that, Dave, and currently the president of Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dave Carlson with Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. Full disclosure, I'm not related to Bo Carlson. I'm just here by myself. But the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance is here to testify in support of Senate File 2766, and I want to thank Senator Rood for bringing that legislation. The Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, we represent sportsmen and sportswomen's interests down at the Capitol. And as I'm out talking to men and women around the state, one of the things they always tell me is to protect our dedicated funds, meaning the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Environmental Trust Fund. And this is another fund that lottery and lieu, and it's just important that we protect the integrity of that, and I appreciate that Senator Rood paid attention and is willing to bring legislation to restore the original intent of those funds, and we support Senate File 2766. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. I see no questions. We will then proceed to Sarah Ciacchetto, who is with the is the Deputy Director of the St. Louis and Lake County Regional Railroad Authority, who is also going to testify remotely. You may identify yourself and proceed when ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and thank you, Senator Rood, for introducing and carrying this bill. My name is Sarah Ciacchetto, and I am a Deputy Director of the St. Louis and Lake Counties Regional Railroad Authority. I'm here today on behalf of our support for Senate File 2766, Lottery in Lieu. Besides owning and maintaining the Lakefront Line Railroad that runs from Duluth to Two Harbors, this rail authority has also proudly built and now maintains the 156-mile Mesabi Trail that extends from the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids to the Boundary Waters near Ely. The state of Minnesota and the LCCMR have been excellent partners in this building of the unique and scenic paved trail that winds through 28 communities across two counties. While this trail is not a state designated trail sponsored by the DNR, we have benefited from your support. That is why we wholeheartedly support Senate File 2766, a bill that will bring more funding to state DNR parks and trails in the metro area. In our experience, people, especially now post-pandemic, are taking advantage of the opportunities that parks and trails provide to get outdoors. And as technology advances, the need for parks and trails increases. So while we may not be eligible for most of the increased funds, we still support these efforts because parks and trails benefit all Minnesotans, including our trail guests, and encourage a healthy lifestyle. The legislature and you, Mr. Chair, have been thoughtful in your approach to providing these resources. Minnesotans have a great respect for the outdoors and for recreational opportunities, whether that means boats, snowmobiles, and ATVs, or bikes, hiking, and camping. When the opportunity arises, we should all collectively support these good works because our fellow citizens applaud them, use them, and we all benefit from them. On behalf of the Mesabi Trail, we support Senate File 2766. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Giacchetti. And I see no questions. And then we turn to Dan Jamber, Pheasants Forever, Ramsey County President. He's also testifying remotely. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Jamber. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members and Senator Rood. My name is Dan Jamber. I am a resident of St. Paul, Ramsey County. I'm an outdoorsman. I'm a firearm safety instructor, fly fisherman, decoy carver, and I'm the president of the Ramsey County chapter of Pheasants Forever. But today I'm here not only on behalf of the Ramsey County chapter, but on behalf of the over 70 chapters of Pheasants Forever throughout the state of Minnesota. So I'm testifying today before the committee in support of Senate File 2766. And, you know, really 2 points. I mean, a lot of it's been discussed, so I'll try to keep this very short. But, you know, when it was originally the legislation in 2000, the allocation was 97%. And it's this legislation, as I understand it, is not seeking to increase funding. This is seeking to restore the funding that was committed to originally when this was passed. You know, my understanding further is that the reason that it was decreased over the first 3 years was because of some significant budget deficits that the state was running during that time period. As we all know now, we have an extreme budget surplus. And so for that reason and many others, I think the time is appropriate to restore the commitment that was made to the citizens originally when this legislation was first passed. The other point that I would add is that, you know, like many of the members of Pheasants Forever, I'm very active in the outdoors. And as many of these other testifiers have commented on, there's a significant increase in use, not just by hunters, but by fishermen, by hikers, bird watchers. Foraging has become extremely popular. And so across the state, there's a significant use of the outdoors, which is a great thing for us. And it's not only, you know, middle-aged guys with white hair like me, but we're seeing an increased use of all populations whether I'm fly fishing down south or pheasant hunting in the south or grouse hunting up north central, there's an increased use. The funds that we're talking about, I would suggest, have more value now than really when that was passed in 2000. So I appreciate that Senator Root has brought this forward. Pheasants Forever is a strong supporter of Senate File 2766. And I want to thank the committee and the chair for the opportunity to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jamber, and thank you for indicating that white-haired guys can still be middle-aged. I appreciate that. we will turn to Mr. Brian Rice from Minneapolis Parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brian Rice. I'm the attorney and lobbyist for the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and thank you, Senator Brood, for introducing this bill. And really, there's a lot of history here, and I don't think it's this is the perfect committee to hear this bill with Senator Lessard. It was a week ago this bill was heard in the other body, and Senator Lessard appeared by letter, and I'm so glad to see him in person, because really, this legacy committee would literally not exist but for Bob Lessard's efforts well over 20 years ago, first in 98 when he championed a constitutional amendment to validate and ensure the right to hunt and fish. And then starting the next year, it was a 10-year battle to get the legacy amendment passed, which increased the sales tax for hunting and fishing, the Outdoor Heritage Council for parks and trails throughout the state, for clean water, and then for arts and culture. So this very committee really exists because of what you did, Senator Lessard, many, many years ago. I was fortunate to play a small role in that. Senator Lessard modeled his bill after an amendment that had passed in Missouri for conservation. What I reminded him at the time, there was also a parallel amendment for recreation in parks and trails in Missouri at the same time. And luckily, this provision, we're talking about lottery, in lieu, started out originally, his bill was 0.25% dedicated of the sales tax. He was not successful in that, but first committee hearing, it was voted down, Senator. I remember being in your office that night, and he had a few choice words for his colleagues in the committee. They wouldn't pass it, but then we put parks in to that amendment, and so that's why the 50% of this money goes to the Game and Fish Fund. And the other roughly 50% went to DNR Parks and Trails, Metro Parks and Trails, the trail grant program that DNR runs, and the 2% for the three zoos in the state. But Dan was absolutely right. 2000 was a time of a budget surplus. They were looking for a way to fund these resource programs. Getting a dedication of the sales tax wasn't possible. That took another almost decade to pass. And what I really want to say on that, I mean, Dan is so right that there's a parallel between now and 20 years ago. There is a budget surplus that the legislature can look at. That's not the only reason to do it. But these resources, when you have these dedicated funds, it makes it so much easier to plan and to build out the programs, and not just build them, but really to sustain them. These dollars shouldn't be looked as new in capital. They're really what takes to operate the system. And you hear so often in capital investment committees and other places, we do have a great state. We do have a great system. The big question, I think, for policymakers is how can you sustain it? And this is a very key role. The dollar amounts here are, you know, relatively modest. But when you put that into a budget, members of the committee, and you spread it over a long period of time, as somebody who's been the general counsel for the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board for 40 years, our share of this would be pretty modest. It would be about what Ramsey County's talking about, $200,000 to $500,000 a year. But if you tell the systems that they'll have that and they can rely on it, it makes the ability to fund the operations, the basic core operations of the DNR, of these 10 metropolitan implementing agencies, of what the DNR does with their trail grants programs. And I do really thank you, Senator Root, for being willing to take this up. I know the Finance Committee in the Senate always scrutinizes these matters, but it really, really makes a difference to these programs. And again, if you look on page 3 3.6 of this bill, lines 3.6 to 3.9. The language that Senator Lessard included in this language hasn't changed in 22 years now, that 50% of the receipts must be deposited in the Heritage Enhancement Account in the Game and Fish Fund and may be spent only on the activities that improve, enhance, or protect fish and wildlife resources, including conservation, restoration, and enhancement of land, water, and other natural resources of the state. That language that he put in the bill, Greg Knopf worked on it, other Senate staff people did, literally now is in the Constitution of the United States because of what you did. Yeah, well, you can maybe at another. That was good, though, but it really does matter. And, I mean, I want to say, I'm probably going on too long, but I'll just tell you, in my experience here, the Senate, more so than the other body, has always led on these environmental initiatives. I don't know what it is, if it's your positions or your terms, but there's always been that foresight on the Senate to really protect what's great about this state, and it really is its natural resources, its land, its water, the animals, the everything. We don't have the oceans and we don't have the mountains, but we do have lakes and streams, forests, prairies, and that's our landscape. That's our vista. That's how we get a sense of who we are, what we do. I mean, Senator Rood told me yesterday she went on her birthday to Afton State Park and snowshoed, and you can't beat that, can you? I mean, the vistas, the St. Croix River, and what you do. And believe me, this really, really does ensure that legacy from an operational end. So thank you, Senator Rood.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. I don't see any questions at this point. Senator Rood, we're ready for a final comment, and if you would like to make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as you can see, that this is a very important bill for Minnesota. And I think what it really boils down to, it's a restoring a promise that was made to the citizens when they went to the ballot box and voted for this. So I think it's really important that we restore this back to its original intent, and I would appreciate your support. And thank you, members. This has been a delightful day with all the folks that have come here for us today. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would love to move the bill.
Senator Rood moves that Senate File 2766 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Environment Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. Bill is passed and hereby re-referred. Do you have any final messages, Madam Chair?
No, Mr. Chair.
With
I think our business is concluded.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.